And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Title of the message this morning, Who Will Heaven Include? Who will heaven include? I've got three types of people, three descriptions of what the Bible says. Here's the question for you. Will it include you? Are you sure today that you have been born again? That's a Bible term. Spiritually born into the family of God. Understand, there's great confusion. Great confusion in the 21st century. Everyone believes that they are a child of God. The Bible doesn't speak of it that way. You are a child of humanity when you're born physically. And then spiritually, the Bible says, and this is shocking, you have one of two spiritual fathers. You have the spiritual father being your devil, the devil, or you have the spiritual father being your father. What happens naturally, you are born physically, but you are spiritually dead, and your spiritual father is the devil. Now that's shocking, but every single one of us, at some point in our life, we were born physically, and we were spiritually dead until by faith in Christ, we became born again. And it's only by Christ. And so, who will heaven include? Will it include you? And so, the first thing I want you to see is in verses 13 to 15, look at verse 14, Jesus was upset that they wanted to forbid the children. He says, Suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. He says, Who will heaven include? Let me see if I can, is this on? There we go. Who will heaven include? Those like little children. Those like little children. So I want to talk to our kids. I used to years ago, and I probably should implement this more, I should have a specific kid moment every message that I have. But here's what I want. I want every, and so I'll even include our teenagers, though I wouldn't call our teenagers children. I would call our teenagers young adults, right? But I want all the kids, man, you guys are in such another world you don't even know. Oh, you're just shocked. Hey, welcome. Welcome back. Good to have you. It's good. And were you playing pencil break? Have you ever played, you were playing pencil break? Right now? Who's better? You're better at pencil break? Whose pencils are you breaking? Yours or your parents? Your pencils. That's good. Anyway, here's what I want you guys to pay attention to. I want you to understand this. Jesus loves you. I want you to understand this. All of the kids, Jesus loves you. He cares for you. Here's the interesting thing. There's been some criticism over the years. You know, we don't have children's chapel, and it's by choice. I want the children in here. And by having the children in here, it's more disruptive than it would be without the children in here. And I'm not saying churches are wrong for having children's chapel. You know what I love? I love the independence of churches. I'm not here saying they have to do it the way we do it. I promise you that. I'm not. I love the independence of churches. I'm going to answer for Hope Baptist Church and no one else. If a church preaches the true gospel, I praise the Lord for them, and I'll leave them alone. And I love that. But here's what I love. I think what we need to do is we need to suffer the little children to come unto him. And I know you can do that through children's chapel, but I want you to know this. We can do that right now. I want all our kids to understand this. Jesus loves you. And the question I have for all of our children is, do you truly love Jesus? Have you truly believed on Jesus? What I mean by that, have you truly said this, the only way I'm going to have my sins removed? And you see, that's the requirement for heaven, is that your sins have been washed away, that your sins are removed. And so, I want you guys, are you still paying attention? You were not. Here's what I want you to really consider this. Is your faith in Jesus Christ? Because Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white. It's a great song, right? Jesus loves you. Isn't that amazing, Anna? That he knows you. You know, I know at times you're saying, and wait a minute, I'm trying to hide behind my dad's shoulder right now. But he loves you. And he says, suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. You know what happens after we are saved for a while? we get to thinking that we're important. And you know what I have to realize is this. He says, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And I think he's even talking of little children, the children that you might hold, right? I mean, I think they might even be smaller than Elia. I know Elia alert, right? You didn't think you're going to get away with that today. Elia is definitely not a lap baby. I mean, she is not. And she's going 100 miles a minute. But I'm telling you, it is, he loves the children. I want to ask the children, have you truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, I want to see Fairfield reach for Jesus Christ. But I will tell you this, I want all of our children to know Jesus Christ personally. And even our teens. You see, it's one thing to say, yes, I believe on Jesus. Yes, I know Jesus. But does your life reflect it? Do you want to serve him? Do you want to honor Jesus Christ? Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me. I want you to know this. It's important. Now, I'm telling you this, we should help our kids have less ants in the pants, but when we have our kids in here, we're going to suffer a little bit. Now, the word suffer is very interesting. I looked it up. It has two almost opposing meanings. Suffer means that you would prevent, but it also means that you would allow. The first definition of this Hebrew, this Greek word, it means to prevent, but the second definition means to allow. I think it's clear the Lord says, allow the children, bring them unto Jesus. I want us to begin to pray fervently about Vacation Bible School, July 31st through August 4th. July 31st through August 4th. Because I want us to bring the children. I want us to think creatively. How do we reach the children of Fairfield? How do we bring them in here so we can tell them about Jesus? I want all of our kids to know this. Just one more time. All of our kids to know this. Were you paying attention? Oh, I love the honesty. I was just making sure we'd get that. I want you to know this. Jesus loves you. And you know what else he wants? He wants you to listen. And it is important. And I'm glad you are so faithful. You're so faithful. You come every week on a team. You're good. It's good. You do every week. I want you to stay faithful. I want you to listen. I want you to ask, why do we come to church? It's so we can learn more about Jesus. Jesus is the only one that can get us to heaven. Jesus is the only one that died for me, and he died for you. Jesus is the only way. And so I want you to know this. It's we those that are in heaven are those like little children. The second thing I want you to see, those who abandon all sin. I've used the word abandon. We could use the word repent. But you have this rich young ruler. You have this rich young ruler here. And the interesting thing about this rich young ruler, let's look back at Matthew chapter 19. Let's just walk through this in verse 16. And behold, one came unto him, and if we see Mark, he came running unto him, and he kneeled unto him, and he was enthusiastic. And he said, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? I mean, has anyone ever had anybody run up to them and ask him that? I want it to happen. I want to remember, though, before I get overly excited, that I want to make sure they understand what they're doing. And Jesus loved this man. It tells us that he loved this man. It tells us that in Luke, he said, and he loved him. Right? The Bible says that Jesus wanted to make sure this man understood what he was doing. He didn't say, now bow your head and repeat after me. I'm not saying that you can't ask the Lord to save you from a prayer, but I'm just telling you, it's with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is known. Confession follows true belief in the heart. So I ask you this. Have you been born again? This man came running unto Jesus. Now, Jesus talks about two ways to heaven. Two ways. Making you nervous? I've talked about it enough in the past. Two ways to heaven. One is perfection. Do you see that? Look at Matthew chapter 19. Look at verse 21. So Jesus walked through all several of the commandments, right? If you know this, I love the way of the master, Ray Comfort. You know that says in Psalm 19:7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I love using the law. I ask people, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Most people tell me yes. And I'll say, if God were to judge you according to the Ten Commandments, how would you do? Most people think I'd do pretty good. I ask him, if God were to ask you whether you'd be innocent or guilty, what do you think? You'd be innocent or guilty? Most people want to say innocent, so they will. But when you use the Ten Commandments were given, the law was given that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty. So Jesus said, look at what he says. He says here, the young man says, you know, what good thing must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus then questions him, why callest thou me good? Why would Jesus do that? Because there's only one that can forgive sins, and that is God. Your need for heaven is that your sins would be removed, your sins would be forgiven. And I want to tell you this, you must be perfect. But if it's up to you, that's impossible, because Jesus said that later. Salvation's impossible with men. If it's up to you to get yourself right with God, you can't. That's impossible, because you have to be perfect. Jesus walked through the Ten Commandments, several of them. Look at this in verse 18. Thou shalt do no murder. That's an easy one. He gives the first two, which are the easiest. Out of all the Ten Commandments, people that I meet, most have not committed direct murder. And many have not committed adultery. But see, Jesus dealt with the heart later. He actually did earlier in the Sermon on the Mount. But it's, Jesus said this, if you have hate in your heart toward another, says that in 1 John, then you're guilty of murder. Jesus said this, if you have anger without a cause, then you're guilty of murder of the heart as well. He says this about adultery, if you look upon a woman, or if it's women, if you look upon a man with lust in your heart, you're guilty of adultery. But it does say in James chapter 2, verse 10, if you keep the whole law yet offend in just one point, you're guilty of all. You can't get a 99.9% on the test. If you don't get 100, then you're in trouble. So Jesus says, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I yet? He was delusional, just like everyone I meet, but I want to tell you this, delusional. Do you know what delusional means? He was crazy. He thought more highly of himself than he thought. Because here's what he said. He said, I've obeyed my parents since my youth. I've never done anything wrong. I've not lied. I've not stolen. I've not sinned. So he says, what do I lack? What do I lack? Did Jesus give him all the Ten Commandments? He didn't. Anybody want to tell me which one that he left out that was critical? Thou shalt not covet. This young man loved money. And he had a lot of it. And so Jesus, here's what Jesus says. Jesus answered him, and he didn't even question him. I want you to follow Jesus. Let the words of Christ do the work. He says, if thou wilt be perfect, he has go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. So I want to ask you this. You have to sell everything that you have to go to heaven? You have to sell everything you have to go to heaven? Did this young man have to sell everything he had? He had to deal with something in his heart, didn't he? And Jesus said this, I'm going to help you get to where you'll believe me with your heart. Stop putting your faith in your stuff. His stuff was more important than he wanted Jesus. I love my riches more than I want Jesus. And what Jesus said is you have to turn from all sin. You have to abandon all sin. It doesn't mean we become sinless, but what it means is this. If there's anything that you hold on to, you cannot be saved. It is an abandonment of the old way and a trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. This young man loved his stuff. And when Jesus went through all the commandments, he said, I've kept them all. And Jesus went through the law. And he said, but one thing you lack, you're covetous. He didn't use those words. He said, go sell everything that you have, give to the poor, and then come and follow me. I want to tell you, and for the kids, it is that we turn from everything. Nassim told me of a great conversation he had with you girls. Was it last Sunday? Am I allowed to tell you that? It's just a good conversation. Was it on the way home from church? And he asked you girls, he said, you know, who do you love more, mommy or Jesus? And you said, Jesus. He said, who do you love more, daddy or Jesus? And you answered, Jesus. Who do you love more? And he started going through all the aspects of your life, right? And then he said, who do you spend more time with? And God's not opposed to you spending a lot of time with your mom and dad. But he had a good question for you, didn't he? How much time do you spend with the one that you say you love the most, right? Do you know that's still a challenge for me? How much time do I spend with the one I say I love the most? And so I still must, not to be saved, because the Lord saved me over 40 years ago. But my struggle is this: what am I holding on to today that'll get in the way of me honoring Jesus? And so those that are in heaven, they will be like children where we just trust. Those that are in heaven, we have to abandon all sin. We have to turn from our sin and turn in faith to Christ. We still have this body. This body never wants to do anything good for Jesus, does it? But we will fight it, and we will discipline ourselves. This young man, it's a shock. The average person you'll meet, you ought to remember this passage, Matthew chapter 19. It is not about being good. It's about faith in Jesus Christ. Take people here. I've told you many times, my wife doesn't like when I tell people, you know, the requirement for heaven is that you've got to be perfect. This is the passage I take them to. Because Jesus said, if you'll be perfect. I want you to understand this. I'm going to heaven because I have the perfect righteousness of Jesus. He gave me his perfect righteousness. I didn't earn his perfect righteousness. By faith, the Lord saved me and he gave me his perfection. You see, when God the Father sees me, he sees the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's the message that the world needs, because here's what everybody does. They've been told all their life, just be good. Then they'll, and like, you know, here's what you have to do. You have to tell them 20 times on a Zoom, just be good. But that's not going to get you to heaven. Levi's like, I'm trying, sort of maybe. And it's this, just be good. But that won't get you to heaven. Have you heard just be good, just obey, just do what's right? You haven't? Maybe. He's like, no. I get it. I mean, because there's a balance. But it's this, it's just being good isn't what it's about. You see, Christians, here's what we spend most of our life doing, trying not to do bad things. That's not what Christianity's about. That's what religion's about. You see, the result of a true relationship with Jesus Christ will be that we will sin less. But that's not what it's about. It's about living for Christ, loving the Lord Jesus Christ, doing what pleases him, because it comes from a heart of love, not out of a heart of obligation. And so I want to beg you this morning, are you sure you're going to heaven? There's an old statement I've heard all through the years of ministry. It says 10% of the people do 90% of the work. How many of you ever heard that from a church perspective? I was thinking on that the other day. You know what I worried about? That probably means 10% of the congregation is probably going to heaven. The other 90% just has religion, and they're checking the box when they show up. You see, I'm not just preaching this message because it's the next verse. I believe it's the verses God wants us. I want you to examine your heart. Do you truly love the Lord Jesus Christ? And I do believe that you do. But I don't know your heart. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's even going on while I'm preaching. I want to ask you this. Do you love the Lord? Does your life reflect that? Because so many people, they have religion, but they're not born again. I beg you this morning, have you truly let everything go and turned in faith to Christ, and then he's the one that will do the changing? The only people that will be in heaven are those that are like little children and those that have abandoned all sin. That's just the word repentance. You see, Jesus said, you got to make sure of this. Money's your issue. If you can't let go of money and follow me, then you can't follow me. Third thing I want you to look at, it's a shock. Look at verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly or shall not likely enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. There's a gate that was called the eye of the needle. Some would argue that they were just talking about, you know, you'd have to unload the camel to get... I believe Jesus was really talking about the eye of a needle. Can you get a camel through the eye of a needle? You can't. You can get a camel through the gate called eye of the needle, but you have to unload it and squeeze it through. I don't think that's what Jesus is talking about, because with men, salvation's impossible. So what's the issue here that we're looking at? Kingdom of heaven is you must be like little children. Kingdom of heaven is those who abandon all sin. Kingdom of heaven is those who abandon self-confidence. You see, rich people, what do they have a need of? Nothing. If rich people would have a need of one thing, it would be what they're looking for, the fountain of youth. Rich people are always looking to extend their life. And they know this, they can't buy that. Everything else they can buy. They can buy a new car. They can buy a new wife. They can buy a new whatever. Because money will just about buy everything they need. The only thing it can't buy is eternal life. But you see, they are so satisfied, they have need of nothing, and they are self-confident in their own riches. Look at verse 25. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Why were they amazed? Most likely, it was this. In the time of the disciples, most of the world was poor, and they thought rich people were the ones that were being blessed of God. If you're rich, God must have favor on you. God must be for you. And Jesus said it's the complete opposite. It's that those that have riches, it usually leads to destruction. That's 1 Timothy chapter 6. And he says, no, guys. He says, it's not reflective of the blessings. And then the disciples said this, who then can be saved? If rich people can't be saved, and it's hardly that rich people will go to heaven. Because here's the reality as well. Rich people would give to the temple. And it was the rich people that were probably supporting the temple. Because the widow that came in and she threw her mite in, and Jesus says, no one has given as much because she gave all that she had. You see, the Lord looks upon the heart, though the people that supported the temple were the rich people, but they only gave of their abundance. They didn't give of their need. You see, Jesus is looking at them, and it's those who abandon self-confidence, but what he says is this. He says, with men, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. I want you to understand this. Jesus is answering the question about salvation. They didn't ask him which rich people can be saved. I've been told that this represents that salvation is not impossible for the rich. No, they said, who then can be saved? They broadened it out. They didn't say which rich people can be saved. They said, who then can be saved? And they opened it up for everyone. Jesus then didn't respond to rich people about rich people. He responded to everyone. I want you to understand this. This should encourage you. Because I know there's some confusion. I'm not going to go into it. But some of you, and I appreciate you've been open, you've said, I wonder if I am one of the elect? So some of you have told me that. I'm not sure if I'm one of the elect. You don't have to worry about that. You can go listen to my message online. I'm telling you, election has nothing to do with salvation. I can prove it to you. We'll talk about it. But you don't have to worry about it. Some of you have said, well, what about my grandkids? What if they're not elect? You don't have to worry about it. You know why? Salvation is possible for all. That's what this passage says here. I want you to rest in that. Salvation, the power of God into salvation, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The only thing that'll save anybody in this room is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's impossible with men. None of you can get to heaven by your works. None of you can get to heaven by doing something for God. That's where this young man was confused. What good thing must I do? You see, there's a little bit of a difference. Remember the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16? He said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" He didn't say, "What good thing must I do?" He said, "Sirs, what must I do? What? Tell me what I must do." And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." It's simple faith. I want you to understand, it is salvation. Just be thrilled about that. I'm telling you, those that you deal with, how many of you think you've got impossible cases for salvation? Only a few. I meet them every week. I look at people sometimes and I think, I wonder if they'll ever listen. If they'll ever, are they too far, God? I don't worry about that. Here's what I know is this. Salvation is impossible for everyone without God. And here's what I love. God tells us that he will intervene, and he intervenes for all. Christ said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself." The Bible says that the Lord would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He said that the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. And so I want you to be thrilled about this. Every single person in this room, you can be saved. The provision was made for you. You see, if the provision was not made for you, then salvation is impossible. But the provision was made so that you can be saved. And I want to come back to this. Onazim, I love this. You're doing a good job faking me out right now, but you're doing a good job, and you are just looking me in the eye, and I love it. Thank you. Onazim, Jesus will save you. And he'll change everything about your life to where Onazim, one day, he'll save you, and you will live for him, and that will be why you live. Levi, Jesus will save you. I want you to understand this, is that he will save you. He does love you. He did die for you. He did rise from the dead. And this is the good news. Salvation is not impossible for anybody in this room. But the important thing is, the Bible says, you must be born again. You see, the Bible says this too, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible says that, you know, it is that examine yourself whether you be in the faith, because it's a big deal. There's so many people, we remember back in Matthew 7 a long time ago, many will come to him in the day of judgment and say, "Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name?" And they had fooled themselves. This rich young ruler had fooled himself. He thought he was good, and he just wondered, what's the last thing I need to add? You know, sort of like taking a passport and say, "I've got all these stamps from these countries. What stamp do I need from you, Jesus, in order to get to heaven?" And Jesus said, "There's nothing you can do to earn your way to heaven. It's by faith alone, in Christ alone." I want to beg you this morning, these are just the three examples. You've got to be like a little child, just simple faith. You just cry out to the Lord and ask him to save you. It's from your heart. It's from your mind. The Bible uses the heart and mind interchangeably. It is this. Will you just ask the Lord to save you? If you turn to him with true faith, saying, "Lord, I need help to get rid of this sin. But I'll let go of everything. Just save me." He'll save you. See the beautiful thing about children? They trust and they don't doubt. It's will you come to Christ as a little child that says this, "I believe who you are. I believe you'll forgive me of my sins. I believe you'll remove my sins and take me to heaven." I beg you this morning, are you telling other people about Jesus? Most of the world is dying and going to hell. Let's beg God to use us. This simple message this morning, Matthew 19, you could use this message, everyone. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Walk them through the Ten Commandments and then tell them Jesus is the only way. Let's pray.